he didn't want to go to the picnic. I mean, Frank Castle needs to lighten up.
This is the Midtown Comics Podcast, episode 56. I'm Thor.
I'm Demetrius.
How's it going?
It's going well.
We've got go ahead.
I'm saying I had a picnic in Frank Castle's. He's just like, he just hung up. I didn't say anything. Just he's like, I'm like, hey, you want to go to a picnic, Frank? It's in Central Park.
He's touchy about Click. Those things.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. It's a long story.
Is it? All right. Well, yeah. Whatever. You could dignify me with a response like, oh, sorry, I'm washing my hair or something like that.
We've got a pretty exciting show today.
Oh, yeah? Who's our guest?
We don't have a guest. We have a top 10 list. We are pulling our wizard episode.
Wow. It's been a year. So we're doing top 10.
10.
The 10 things that we like.
10 things. Just 10 things.
10 things from last year.
10 things from last year.
10 things from last year. You guys ready for that?
Yeah.
Are you ready for it, Thor?
I was born ready. We've done the research. We've scanned the racks. We know what's on our list. So we're going to start from 10 and work our way down and number one and so on and so forth. It'll be very exciting. So we're going to go down our list. Number 10 is going to – we're going to start with 10 and end with 1, and it's going to be great.
We're not doing it 1 to 10?
No, because number 1 is number 1, and number 10 is number 10.
All right. I got to rewrite some of this in that case.
Okay.
Oh, so we're counting back, not counting forwards.
We're counting down. Well, it's a countdown.
Okay. Oh, I don't have to switch 5. Oh, no. No, I do have to switch 5 and 4.
Oh, you mislabeled?
Yeah, everything's like I have it 1 through 10.
That's okay. Okay, so let's start with number 10 of things that happened last year that were comics. Number 10.
Number 10.
This was mine. Beast of Burden.
Beast of Burden.
From Dark Horse Comics.
What is that?
Beast of Burden is a bunch of animals that are essentially like just like the BPRD, only they're dogs and cats, and they're much cuter.
Uh-huh.
And it's written by Evan Dorkin, and Jill Thompson does the art for it. Some very beautiful watercolors. And there's actually going to be a Hellboy Beast of Burden crossover coming up soon.
Oh, has it come out yet?
Not yet.
I remember we interviewed Evan Dorkin, and he said it was coming out in June or something.
Well, the man...
What kind of a comic comes out later than is scheduled for?
Well, that's number 4 on our list, delays. So we'll get to that. Don't rush ahead.
Do you think he's going to have the Hellboy stone hand choke the life out of the puppies and cats like he said?
I can only hope so, because that would be very gruesome and fun to see.
But
Hellboy likes cats, doesn't he? Or was that just in the movie?
I think it was just in the movie. I don't remember him being anywhere near cats in the comic book.
Okay. I know he's near frogs quite a bit.
So why is it number 10? Why didn't it go higher in the list?
Well, when we get to the list, you'll see that there's some other things on there that I liked a little more. But this is one of the things that I feel everyone should give a chance, because maybe they see a book about dogs and cats and they don't think it's going to be very good. But Grant Morrison proved that you can do a book about fuzzy little animals and be very good. And so is Evan
Dorkin. Jim Davis proved it. The guy who did Mutts proved it.
Yes, exactly.
There was nothing that needed to
Frank
be
Cho.
Proved. Yeah, Frank Cho. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that needed to be proved. It's been there before, man.
Well, you know, then why aren't people picking it up?
Because it's not proven to them. You caught me.
There you go.
You caught
me. So take a look at Beast of Burden. There's a beautiful hardcover that came out just recently, and again, there's going to be a Hellboy Beast of Burden crossover issue coming up soon. Let's move on to number 9. Demetrius, what's number 9 on the list?
Thanos Imperative.
Thanos Imperative.
Oh, is that how it reads?
Yes. I don't know. Is that? I imagine that's what Thanos would sound like.
Oh. Or as my mom would say, Thanos Imperative. That's another evil sound that I hear sometimes. That's what I imagine Thanos sounds like.
Far worse.
Because it's like, you know... You hear that deep sound, you know, that deep evil sound. It's like, oh, that's awful. But then imagine a booming voice in space, and it's your mom shouting that, you know, so whatever the declaration is. Yeah, you know?
You've got to do your laundry.
There you go.
Dmitri, the world is going to end at my hand. Where is young blood number 1?
Okay, so tell us about Thanos Imperative.
So all the space stuff that's been awesome and you know, consistently good. I mean, you've heard it numerous places.
It's
Guardians of the Galaxy,
come to this.
Nova. Yeah, it's all built up to an area in space called the Fault, where there's no death and everything is just turned into this cancerous, you know, nonstop living tumor, which is why they dubbed this place the Cancerverse. And who is lord of this area but Captain Marvel, the one of the greatest deaths in Marvel Comics.
Because he had cancer.
Well, he had cancer, yeah.
Unrelated to the Cancerverse.
Unrelated to the Cancerverse, really. But, yeah, he lived. He was the ruler of this evil, you know, all-consuming world, H.P. Lovecraft-like world.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to come into our world. And, you know, Guardians of Nova have to recruit the one guy who can stop him, Thanos.
So Thanos is working for us.
He's working for us. Or Whoa. Is he? I don't know if you guys read the latest issue. Or is he?
Ooh.
That's the twist.
That's a good cliffhanger.
Who would have thought? Can you really trust a guy who you've never trusted before in an uneasy alliance? I mean,
this is a very original idea, and I'm shocked by it that I've never heard of anything like this before, but I like the idea.
That's right.
All right, I'm going to go for it.
Number eight.
Number eight, Almost Silent by Jason, who goes only by Jason.
Yeah.
He had a collected book of some older cartoons called Almost Silent, mm-hmm. and a lot of people who maybe kind of dip their hands into the indie stuff will recognize his style because he draws all of his characters like these certain dogs and birds and bears and things like that. And they all kind of look the same. So this is just a collection of a few of his stories, and it's called Almost Silent because most of them are silent. There's only a few that actually have any dialogue in them.
Mm.
But they're very good.
So if they had no dialogue, it'd be just be called Silent?
Yes, it would just be silent,
mm.
but deadly.
Silent but deadly? Is it deadly?
It was an assault on the senses.
There's salt?
Yes.
Okay.
It was an assault on the Census Bureau. Uh-huh. there was also in last year's Strange Tales from Marvel, Jason had a short story in there, a short Spider-Man story in there.
Oh, did he?
Yes. It was Spider-Man getting into a bar fight with Dr. Octopus. It was pretty funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't want to give it away.
Who won?
I can't tell you. You'll just have to pick up Strange Tales, which made the list at 8.5.
You snuck it in there.
I snuck it in there. See what I did? See what I did? What's number 7 on your list?
7 or 7.5?
Just 7. Come on. I tied it in.
All the Vertigo crime novels are number 7.
All of them.
Well, I mean, you know, just the idea of them. You know, it's been a good series of original novels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good format. You know, I've always said that I'm a fan of this digest size format.
You do like the small books.
I like the small books because they're easy, they're convenient, they fit in your pocket. There's so much content to them. Imagine a single display where you can read anything you want and it fits in your pocket. I mean, that's what this comic, that's what these digest comics are for me, you know?
That's pretty good.
You know, I mean, it's like you could swap them out in your book bag and
right.
And you know, you're able to read what I call these platforms.
Uh-huh. It's just perfect on-the-go reading material.
On-the-go reading material.
Plus their hardcovers.
Plus their hardcovers. Well, they have some softcovers, too.
Yeah, they're starting to put them on the softcovers.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's been a bunch of them. Real quickly, what was your favorite one so far?
Although it wasn't my favorite Constantine story, Dark Entries has been one of my favorite ones, and it's pretty early on in the
I think that was the second one
in the series. Yeah, it was the second one. It actually came out at the same time as Filthy Rich.
Yeah, that's true.
Filthy Rich was okay too. It was very straightforward, you know, noir stuff. But yeah, no, Dark Entries. It was an interesting concept where Constantine is in a reality TV show, and the house is haunted.
Uh huh.
It's kind of like Big Brother, but in a haunted house, and he's there investigating because the haunted house ends up being real.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, and there's the latest one that came out by Denise Mina, who also wrote Hellblazer, called Sickness in the Family, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be sure to check them out. You know, they're very convenient.
Number 6 on the list.
And portable.
That's the best part. Number 6 on the list is Wilson, the new and first original hardcover from Daniel Clowes that came out earlier this year. A lot of people.
Let me guess. I'm just going to guess the plot of this thing.
Go ahead.
He's basically, it's the adventures of a guy who stands outside of his yard waving his fist at a five-year-old who skateboards past him and causes lots of havoc.
That's Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace. Yeah. And no, it's not exactly like that.
Oh, no?
Yeah. It's
Was I close?
Sort of. There is a guy.
Okay, cool.
There's a guy.
All right. See, I didn't even read it.
It's a story of a guy, like I said, who is kind of crazy, antisocial, gets in arguments with strangers, and will sit in a coffee shop just to drum a conversation.
Now, why is that even interesting?
Well,
you know, it's just a guy who just like disagrees with you just for the sake of disagreeing. I don't think that's interesting at all.
Yeah, okay. I would relate it to maybe if Curb Your Enthusiasm was even worse and more uncomfortable is kind of what Wilson's like. And it's also cool because every single page has a different art style that Daniel Klaus has used over the years. So it's kind of built like a six-panel news strip on each page. And each page reads individually as one little strip, but the whole thing tells one whole story about him trying to reconnect his family and his daughter and things like that.
Does he succeed?
I don't want to give anything away.
Can I guess?
Please.
He finds out that someone in his life is... His daughter all along or something like
not
that.
Not who they appear to be.
Yeah, not who they appear to
no,
be.
No, that doesn't happen.
No?
No. But it's very funny.
It was a good guess, sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Thanks.
A lot of people, mainly my wife, thought it was very sad and disturbing, but I couldn't stop laughing. It was really funny. So I guess two people take two different things away from it. So give it a try and tell me if you think it's sad or hilarious or both. What's number five?
Number five is Batman Reborn.
Okay.
Ever since Bruce Wayne has disappeared, we've had Dick Grayson step into the reins. I mean, the reason I put this in the list is because his sole reign as Batman is coming to a close. And, you know, I thought it was a very awesome year of just Dick Grayson.
He got to be the man.
He got to be the man. You know, he's got, you know, Damian Wayne, who's Bruce Wayne's son. And basically, if I could sum it up, it's been about a guy who's been trying to reconnect with his family. And at times, it's humor-filled, you know, as Dick Grayson is. And at times, it's dark and depressing.
Is Dick Grayson humor-filled?
Yeah, yeah. He's jolly and stuff, you know. But, you know, it could get depressing at times.
Okay.
You know? And sometimes it gets awkward, too.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a scene where he's sitting there in a coffee shop. And there's Penguin and Joker, and he's trying to start a conversation with them.
Right.
And they're not responsive, and he just calls them jerks. You know, like they get out of the scene, and then it's like...
Right, right.
You know, he goes, some people could be real jerks. Yeah. It's like your average strip. And it's great, because every single page of every Batman Reborn comic is...
Do you have anything serious to say about Batman Reborn? Because I'm not reading it, so this is your time to convince me, and you're not doing a very good job.
Really? I thought I'm appealing to what you already liked. No, it's great, because it's a fresh... You know, it's as close to a, you know, guy stepping into the reins of Batman as we can get.
Right.
And stepping into it, and, you know, he's in the shadows of the ultimate human being. Bruce Wayne Batman.
Do the people on the streets know that it's not Bruce Wayne Batman?
No, everyone thinks it's the
it's
same.
Just same Batman.
He's doing his best to uphold this persona.
Right, kind of like Zorro.
Yeah, but this is serious though, Thor. I'm trying to seriously convince you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like Zorro.
Oh, yeah, no, so it's just like Zorro without the sombrero.
Bad ears instead of the sombrero.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Number four on the list is the Starman Omnibus series that's been coming out. Omnibus, I think. We decided, and by decided, looked up.
Omnibuses?
Omnibus is plural and singular.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong, but I think that's right. I feel like I remember someone saying that.
I think I like the sound of Omnibuy.
Omnibuy sounds good.
Yeah.
So they've been re-releasing all the Starman, the James Robinson, Tony Harris Starman books into these big, fancy hardcover omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading them with the start of the omnibus, and it's a great series, and it really kind of rekindled my flame with the superhero comics, actually.
Oh, really?
It's
he's not even much of a superhero. He just wears regular clothes.
Oh, maybe that's it. He's a superhero, but he's kind of a everyday. So it's a cross between a bad indie book and a bad superhero book.
It's a cross between Batman and Robin and Wilson.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was. But one of the main things that brought me into the series, obviously, was there's a award-winning storyline that shares the title with Sandman, and there was actually a crossover.
Is it
District
called
Theater.
Sands and Stars?
Yes, it is.
How original.
How original. It is a bad title, but still. it's a really great story.
Let me team up Batman and Superman and call it Bats and Supers.
Yes, or Bat and Men.
Bat and Men, yeah.
Yeah.
Of Bats and Men.
But the fifth omnibus
that's actually
just
not
came
bad.
Out.
Of Bats and Men.
Of Bats and Men.
And it's like of Mice and Men.
It is.
Yeah.
Who's going to get shot in the end?
Lenny still.
Just never works out for Lenny. The fifth Starman omnibus just came out this week, uh-huh. This past week. It chronicles Jack Knight's
venture into space.
Venture into space, yes. I don't want to get into why he's going into space or.
Well, I mean, if you read the first one, they kind of say you're going to go into space, Jack.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
Right. But so now he's in space, which I have to say, I don't know if it's space, but I'm not loving this one as much as I liked the other ones.
Oh, it's great, man. See, you know what your problem is?
What's that?
You don't have a connection to the previous Starman past what James Robinson established. But the Roger Stern Sandman?
Mm-hmm. Starman.
Starman, yeah. From 80s, late 80s?
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Basically, it was
is that
about,
the Will Payton Starman?
It was Will Payton. He was hit by a beam. And he had Superman-level powers. He was able to blast from his hands. He had super strength. He had super speed. He could shape change. He could pretty much do everything. But it was very it really had the same vibe that Jack Knight did, but in a decade beforehand, where you know he's basically a normal guy struggling with Superman-like
right.
powers. Not to mention that his origin is tied into this secret research facility who was trying to empower their own soldiers. And so, you know. He's being attacked by these guys. He's trying to be a superhero. You know, he's trying to keep his family together. His, you know, with his only confidant being his sister.
Right.
I'm not going to ruin who his sister is.
Don't ruin it.
But, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I appreciate the space stuff,
yeah.
actually, because of that. Because he was able to tie in some of the space Starman into it.
Right.
Some of the, you know, superpowered Starman into
it. Which is the Starman that is in the all-black costume with the stars all over him?
Oh, that's supposed to be Starboy.
Oh, from
Legion of Superheroes.
Okay, I read that story. Yeah. I won't get into that in case anyone else has to read it. Yeah. But that was pretty good.
Yeah, he's time travel. He's in James Robinson's scenario.
Yeah,
he will become the next Starman. And currently in our Marvel in our DC comics right now,
he is.
He's the Starman because he has in fact taken over. He has time traveled and become, or actually at this point, he stepped out of the limelight. I think. Mikhail is the Starman in the Justice League right now.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, unless there's more than one, which is normal for DC.
Right.
But yeah, but that Starman has already stepped into the light as
yeah.
of a few years ago.
Hmm. So
pun not intended.
There you go. And that's another thing that I liked about the Starman book that I don't normally gravitate to is mm-hmm. that there's a lot to do with legacy and you know for people that. Don't really read a lot of DC and they see mm-hmm. that there's like six Green Lanterns mm-hmm. and five Supermen and things like that. It's kind of confusing, but with there being all these Starmen, it makes sense because it's always one at a time and mm-hmm. it's sort of a mantle that's passed on to father and son and so on and so forth. So that I thought was really interesting too.
You know what I recommend to you, man?
What's that?
As a follow-up to Starman, once you finish reading that series, Manhunter, actually.
Yeah.
Manhunter, you know, Mark Andreyko took a similar concept where he just wanted a grounded person. In this case, he took a woman
mm-hmm.
who is a divorcee who can't not really do a good job taking care of her kid. She's a lawyer. She's a kick-ass lawyer, and she's a chain smoker. You know, that's her little personality trait. It's the same way Jack
right.
is just a guy who likes to get tattoos and
mm-hmm.
Collect old things. You know, she's good at being a lawyer, and then she decides to put on the costume when one too many serial killers get away. Like, Copperhead was one of the first ones that she
yeah.
took on.
So kind of in a daredevil sense?
Yeah.
Lawyer by day, jury and executioner by night?
Essentially, you know, when the justice system lets him go, she goes after him. But, I mean, the main draw, though, is that she's really crappy mother. I mean, and she's also like addicted to smoking too, or she's trying to get off them and stuff.
Right.
So it's actually, you know, relatable. It's actually pretty human. And they actually do get into her legacy. They get into the previous Manhunters. You get to meet who the previous Manhunters are in a story where someone's actually killing them off.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get a similar sense by reading that stuff.
All right. I'll put Manhunter on my list.
All right.
Speaking of lists, number three.
Number three is the Irredeemable Incorruptible series.
Mark, you know, Wade.
I wish I'd call it one thing, but I guess Irredeemable Verse would be good. Dude, it's gone so great, man.
Has it?
It's going away from he's gone away from the just strictly sticking to the archetypes of these superheroes. It's not simply a Superman has gone bad,
right?
You know, you remember he talked about it at the podcast, and you know, at this point we're getting like these interesting twists on the arch villain hero, you know, relationship.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been really good. With one of the latest issues revealing that one of his nemeses possibly was after him because he had a fetish for it. He actually liked him, in fact, maybe.
The bad guy liked the guy
who was trying to constantly get his attention. That's why he would just simply endanger his woman but never actually outright kill her or, you know, like put these elaborate traps that, you know, any Silver Age guy right. can get out of in 23 pages.
Sharks with lasers on their heads.
You know, that type of stuff, yeah. And it's all just a cry for attention from this guy, you know?
Huh.
So it's, and you know, it's, that's beyond other stuff that's been going on, you know? We're finding that this world's super team, you know, this Avengers Justice League type team.
Right.
None of them are, you know, infallible. Everyone's done something that's almost on par with how awful the main villain has done.
So from the way you're describing it, it kind of sounds like,
yeah,
to the average person who mm-hmm. may not be reading it, like myself, that it kind of has what seems like something to relate it to the vibe of Watchmen a little bit.
Yeah, like, but
the imperfect hero.
I mean, it's as imperfect as it gets. It's a doomsday scenario where
more imperfect than The Boys.
No, that's just disgusting half the time. No, no, not that imperfect. I mean, these guys still have some they have class. Okay. Is what I want to say.
All right.
These guys, as brutal as they are, they still have class for the most part. This is just a doomsday. Yeah, it's almost a post-apocalyptic superhero world, and despite everything, these guys are still trying to be heroes. But it just keeps getting worse and worse, and it's ongoing. Like Mark Waid said, he's got years of stories to come.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's good because usually when you have something so high concept,
yeah,
it's done in, you know, one trade or like an All-Star Superman. It was 12 issues.
Yeah, 12 issues was really good.
Yeah, but you know, it's rare for something that can be an ongoing that's consistently that good too. So it's good to see. Number two on the list, the Parker novels by Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
Richard Stark's Parker novels, I think they were written in the 50s
mm-hmm.
or 60s. I'm not sure exactly.
Well, before we were born.
Before we were born. in Don Draper's time, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
So Darwin Cook decided to illustrate these novels and turn them into graphic novels. Uh-huh. So the first one was The Hunter, mm-hmm. which was the story of Parker, who was a criminal and mm-hmm. kind of like the book Criminal or Incognito or something like mm-hmm. that. Well, not Incognito. But he was on a job, and he got his money got taken away. He mm-hmm. wants his money back sort of scenario. Takes down the crime boss, stuff like
kind
that.
Kind of like Payback.
Exactly like that, yes.
Oh, why?
Because it was based on that. That movie was based on the books.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then The Outfit just came out mm-hmm. last week, which was the sequel to The Hunter. And it was I enjoyed the first one, but the second one was even better. He goes into these descriptions of, like, the crime syndicates,
mm-hmm.
the crime syndicates, and all these different jobs that are being pulled. And he describes them in each in a different style. So one is kind of in a magazine article. Another one is like a comic strip sort of thing describing how they do all these scams and money laundering and stuff like that. It's really interesting. And yeah, it's a cliffhanger again. Leaves you ready for the third one, which I'm excited for. But it's a whole nother year and change away. But it's something to look forward to. If you're not picking this up, I highly recommend it. It's Imagine Mad Men and Ed Brubaker's Criminal mixed together, but with Darwin Cook. So it looks even prettier than you could imagine.
Cool.
And that brings us to the number one item of the list.
I can imagine being very pretty.
It is.
The number one item is...
Say it.
You want to say in unison to add to the effect or something?
One, two...
Marvel Man's Family's...
Marvel Man.
Marvel Man.
Marvel's reissues of the Marvel Man stuff.
That's right.
It's what we were all waiting for, and we finally got it.
I mean, that thing has been stuck in, like, legal battles for how many years?
Lots of years.
Since the 80s, since 86. Yeah, it's been over 20 years at this point. We finally got the adventures of Michael Moran. Let me give a little history lesson, Thor.
Please.
But back in the heyday of you know, Fawcett Comics and stuff, and these national periodicals suing them for likeness of the Captain Marvel character to Superman, they eventually kept losing more and more money, you know, in legal battles with these guys. They never actually lost the cases, though. That's the thing. They never actually lost cases, but because of all the money they spent, you know, trying to defend themselves,
right?
They ended up, you know, just running out and just saying, okay, you know what? We got to get out of this. Let's just sell the property to somebody. And who buys a property?
DC.
DC. Well, National Periodicals. They buy them. They buy out of Fawcett. And then the guys who were in the company, Mick Anglo in particular, just created this new character who says the word Kimota, and it transforms him. It's a science-based character with blonde hair who says the magic words Kimota, and it transforms him into the... It's a kid who turns into, you know, Marvel Man.
Yes.
So you see how dangerously close it is to Captain Marvel?
Very.
You think these guys have learned their lesson?
Yeah.
But, you know, now DC has grounds to sue these guys. So they've at least changed name, I think, to Miracle Man at that early stage. And, you know, they couldn't retain it. You know, comics kind of lost popularity eventually anyway. Well, with the Comics Code Authority being introduced.
Right.
And then years later, with Eclipse Comics, we get the reintroduction of Miracle Man. And with Alan Moore leading the way.
And there were some other big names on that book,
That's right. Neil Gaiman took over at some point. I mean, Rick Veitch did some of the art. Dave Gibbons did some of the art.
Yeah.
Alan Davis did some of the art. Actually, did Dave Gibbons do it? No, I don't think Dave Gibbons did it. But other... Mark Buckingham, your boy Mark Buckingham, did some of the art, too.
He did do that.
Yeah, so it has a interesting history. And then eventually, you know, it turns out the guy who was in charge just didn't have the property as he said he did. It was just in limbo for so long. He just kind of assumed he could do it, and no one would, you know, no one would say or do anything. And, yeah, Neil Gaiman had some stories he never got a chance to release. Tom McFarlane eventually bought some of the property. You know, Neil Gaiman owned it. The last artist, Steven Bissett, owned some of it. You know, and then at this point, Marvel purchased from all the interested parties and started bringing them out slowly but surely and restoring it to the Marvel Man name since they own
Marvel.
All things Marvel. Yeah,
there you go.
And yeah, so it's yeah, check it out. It's classic 50s stories, and
eventually
with good imagination,
we'll get the Eclipse stuff.
There you go,
the stuff everyone really wants. Well, that's the list. Hope you get a chance to take a look at some of that stuff. It's all, you know, got the Midtown Comics podcast seal of approval, which is very important.
We'll back it up. If you guys have any questions about it, we could, you know, answer them.
Yes. So since we gave you all these hot items to choose from, we're going to skip the picks of the week for this week and move straight on to the sales. So, Demetrius, what do we have for sales this week?
All right. We got 30% off of Marvel Beck issues, letters A through G. Also, 10 to 50% off of collectibles and 30% off of Halloween costumes and accessories.
It's 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away. Get your costumes now. I'm
excited.
Guys. Obviously, this does not include the Superman shirt.
Yes, of course. That's not a costume.
It's not a costume. It's just a shirt.
It's just a shirt.
That you choose to wear underneath your button shirt.
Midtown Comics downtown store is going to have its grand opening in November.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we're thinking it's going to be the first one of the first couple weeks of November. So keep your eyes open for that. We'll have official announcements for that when it's all said
coming
and done.
Up
exactly.
On here.
So that will be a third Midtown Comics location for you all to come and visit us at, and hopefully see you there. I'm sure it's going to be glorious.
There you go. A third option for you to find good condition books in.
Yes. So now we've got a Marvel and DC. So this will be our Image, maybe?
Maybe. Dark Horse, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Image, maybe.
There we go.
Anyways. yeah. And if anyone has any questions they want to ask us or any guests we have, it's podcast@midtowncomics.com. You can email us. You can follow the store on Twitter. It's Midtown Comics, one word. Yeah, check out our YouTube account, Midtown Comics TV. We've got lots of stuff coming up from the convention.
Cool.
Our blog, blog.midtowncomics.com, has a lot of fancy cosplay pictures from over the weekend and New York Comic Con and a few other things going up. And that gets updated daily with lots of exciting stuff and news. I think that's everything.
I didn't get a chance to ask you. How was your convention going experience?
It was exhausting, but fun.
Cool.
How about you?
It was exhausting.
Yeah, but...
But a lot of people had fun there. We got to meet a few fans of our show.
Yeah. Thank you for everybody that stopped by to say hello. That was very nice.
And it was clear everyone there had fun.
Yes.
You know, with all the goodies all over the place.
Yeah. It was a good time.
It was a good time.
Do you have any last words for us?
Sure. How about Roke's last words from The Losers?
Okay.
Roke, I don't want to ruin for people who haven't seen the movie or watched or read the first four issues. But betrays him.
No.
So he goes, you know, he's holding a gun to Pooch, who's a main character, and he goes, "What are you talking about?" And Pooch, who's this badass, says,
"That robot you've been using to handle the plutonium designed for bomb disposal work, right? But just what do you think them things use to blow a detonator out of a lump of plastic? That's right. Shotgun."
And ba-damn, Roke gets blasted out the window.